That's it, it's live now.
Yes. So hello, everybody. And welcome. We are just feeling so blessed to be able to share this time with both Jacqueline and Regina. Jacqueline's been our presenter this month in the Transformation Room in the Presenter Series. And Susan and I talked about it a little bit on Friday, but I personally have been almost without words. This teaching has taken me by surprise. I thought I was in a great place with all the work that I've been doing. And I have just been soaking up the things I've been finding on the website and in this teaching like a sponge. And the world keeps changing on me, you know, as I'm saying yes to the processes and yes to the teachings and going back to the roots of everything Jacqueline's doing and that Regina has taught. And we're just thrilled that we get this opportunity to share more of it today. And with that, I'd like to hand things over to Jacqueline so that she can give us an intro and introduce us to Regina.
Okay.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hey, good to see you guys. Good to be here. First of all, I wanted to note that, as I said before, I listened to your Facebook Live on Friday, and I also heard you mention our website just now, but I'm not sure that your listeners know what website you're referring to, and that's mine and Regina's home website, which is awakening-together.org, and there's just, as you said, there's just tons and tons of resources there, audios and videos and whatnot there. So, having said that, we're gathered with Regina, my teacher, my friend, my teacher, my mentor, today to talk more about the RAT method, the rest, accept, and trust method. And you folks got introduced to that. I think that was last week's deliverable with journaling with Holy Spirit. And Regina originally received this rest, accept, and trust instruction from Holy Spirit. And she's the expert thereon. So I'm thrilled to be here with Regina, and I love her dearly. And I think when you hear her speak, you will feel the same way. So I'll turn it over to Regina.
Wow. Jacqueline knows I don't see myself at all the way she just described. So that was a little surreal. However, we're here to talk about rest, accept, and trust. And where do you guys want me to start? Just kind of at the beginning, I guess. I mean, I know you're working with it, but okay. So when I was going through my purification phase, which for me was a 5-year, very intense period of letting go of false beliefs, there were two primary challenges. One was fear and the other was unworthiness. And really what I discovered was, A Course in Miracles talks about guilt. But what I discovered is guilt, unworthiness, shame, they're slightly different flavors of the same belief, which I've come to call the I am bad belief. Fear tended to be more related to a sense of security. You know, it could come up in different ways, but it was about just not feeling secure naturally. And so whenever there was anything that seemed to possibly threaten my security or even just crazy ideas, which really had nothing to do with what was going on, a lot of fear would come up. So the fear a lot was around security. And then there was this guilt, unworthiness, shame related to this I am bad belief. And for me, both of these, when they came up for healing, they were extremely intense. For example, one of the things that I was guided to do was I was guided to leave my job and move to a new location, which is eventually this new location, which was North Carolina. This is where eventually NTI, the Holy Spirit's interpretation of the New Testament, and the teachings of Inner Ramana were scribed. And this is also where I went through my purification phase. But when the guidance first came to move, I didn't know this yet. When you get guidance from Holy Spirit, if it's genuine guidance, it doesn't come with a 5-year plan. So there's just this guidance at this time to leave my job and move. And I have no idea what's coming. And I was a single mom with a 7-year-old daughter and, you know, a limited amount of funds in the bank. And so a lot of the fear came up just around this change in life, this transition. And sometimes I got to tell you, when I was in bed at night and this fear about what was going to happen in our future would start coming up, sometimes the fear was so intense, I thought the fear would kill me. And that's not an exaggeration. The unworthiness was the same kind of thing, just different things would bring it up. For example, one thing that really brought up the unworthiness was a couple of years after the move to North Carolina, I was guided to join with this man from France named Laurent in a relationship. Laurent was from upper class French family, is used to beautiful women, had, you know, even told me that he had dated, models. And around him, I felt very frumpy, very ugly, not stylish at all. And so that especially started pushing up all of these long held beliefs that are literally best described as I was the lowest scum on the planet. And so, because of giving up the job and because of this relationship, these two things, this fear that I am not secure and this fear that I'm the lowest scum on the planet, this sense of unworthiness was really, really, really pushed to the surface. Oh, and there was one more thing that I had to deal with too. And I think this is a fear that eventually everyone has to deal with. It's what I call the truth is not true. Mm-hmm. And that fear brought me to my knees when it showed itself, because by this time I had dedicated my whole life to this spiritual path. I mean, I had left my job. I had taken my daughter out of a very good school. I had moved. I had left one relationship for another relationship purely on guidance. And I had had what people might call a pretty good life. And so, the argument in the mind was that I threw away a good life for all this spiritual crap. And that really brought me to my knees with a lot of fear too. So these were the three primary things that I was dealing with during this 5-year purification period. These were the three primary false beliefs that had to be released before genuine inner peace could be realized. So, one of the primary tools that I was given in order to release these false beliefs was what we call rest, accept, and trust, or the RAT technique. So rest refers to resting the mind. So for example, when the fears would come up about the financial situation, all of my life I had been saving money, watching that savings increase. And now I am living in North Carolina, and I did shortly after arriving in North Carolina begin to write NTI. So I'm writing NTI, but I have no incoming money whatsoever. So every time that I write a check to pay a bill, to buy groceries or whatever, I start watching that amount go down. And I'll just tell you how much that amount was. It was a reasonable amount, but you'll know it's not an amount that lasts for eternity. It was $50,000. So I'm watching that go down, down, down. I have no other means of support. And you can just, and I have a young daughter, and the stories about, you know, what was going to happen to us and all of this, it was just, it's funny because I can't even imagine them now because they're so far gone, but they were so big and so loud, and this enormous fear would come up where I was just paralyzed. Well, the first step in rest, accept, and trust is you have to rest your mind away from the stories. You know, this is very similar to dieting, which is something that most people are familiar with, at least in concept. You know, if you want to lose weight, I wish I had something here to stick in my mouth. You don't lose weight by continuing to stick stuff in your mouth, right? Right? It's not very good, especially, you know, lots of cakes and pies and cookies and brownies. And, you know, it's just not a very effective method. It's the same thing. The thoughts are the cakes, the cookies, the brownies, right? You know, when you're giving lots of attention to those thoughts, no matter what they are, and no matter how reasonable they seem, you keep rebuilding the fear. Or if it's the unworthiness we're talking about, you keep rebuilding the unworthiness, right? So, you know, you could think of the fear, since I'm telling a story right now about fear, you could think of the fear as the fat. It's the excess. It's what you don't need, right? You can think of the fear as the fat. And what I really want to do is I want to lose this weight. And I can't lose this weight if I keep feasting on those fear stories. I mean, that's all there is to it. And so rest the mind means rest away from those stories that are creating whatever kind of fear you have. Nowadays, I can just choose to rest my mind and it just goes silent. I can just say, not interested, and it goes silent. But it wasn't like that then. So what I did was what I call active resting. And what I would do is I would use self-talk to help me rest. Because if my mind is focused on sort of a coaching type of self-talk, it can't simultaneously be focused on the fear story. So I would say things to myself like, it usually started this way. I'll just pretend for a moment and let you guys see what it looked like. Okay, breathe. Just take some deep breaths. This is just fear. This is just an energy moving through the body. The mind doesn't know what's going to happen. Just rest. This is just negative thoughts, negative fantasy. Breathe. You don't need to listen. Remember what you really want. You want to know truth. You want to know peace. Don't pay attention to these thoughts. They don't know anything. They're making up everything they're saying. Just relax. Just breathe. Everything's okay. It's all right to feel fear. Fear is nothing but an energy. It's okay to feel this fear. There's nothing really wrong right now. Just let it be, etc. Right? And so when I'm doing that kind of inner self-talk, which I call active resting, I'm not hearing whatever those fear stories were about running out of money, right? So that's how I rested the mind. Now, again, I would call that kind of a beginner method of resting the mind. The better method, if you'll pardon the term, is just to say, not interested in that, and let the mind go silent. But if you can't do that, you can't do that. And just to say, I'm not interested in that, if you're not doing something active to keep the mind away from those other thoughts, they're just going to keep coming. Right? If you're not yet at the point where you can just say not interested and have them drop away. So the active resting was extremely, extremely helpful for me. I would imagine that some other people might do very well in other ways. For example, putting on some music, maybe even putting on some earbuds or headphones and concentrate on listening to the music, right? Rather than listening to the thoughts. That would be just as good. One thing that's really important about this, and I need to emphasize this, your intention is critical. I do remember explaining rest, accept, and trust to people and explaining this resting of the mind to people who were very afraid of their thoughts. And so their intention was to escape what they were afraid of through this self-talk or through a method like listening to music or meditation or something. That can't be your intention. If your intention is to escape, you're going to repress, and then when you anything you repress, you keep, right? Just like, it's just like swallowing the food. You know, anything you repress, you keep. So your intention is very important. The reason you are doing this is to heal the false beliefs.
Yeah, and in fact, let me interrupt for a second, Regina. Sure. In fact, the exercise where we introduced rest, accept, and trust, I asked people, it's about journaling with Holy Spirit, and I asked people to take an upset and write down all their thoughts about it. Tell the whole story. He shouldn't have done it, and this is why, and just as ugly as it gets, to tell it so that we're not repressing.
Right. Excellent. Yes. I used to do that. I used to do that all the time. So that's excellent. Thank you, Jacqueline. Anyway, so in the rest, accept, and trust, that's the rest of the mind. The key point about rest of the mind is that you're not listening to the fear story or the unworthiness story, right? Or the shame story or the guilt story. Instead, you're using your mind in another way. Technically, what's happening is in your mind, you know, you have these neural pathways, these grooves that have kind of been carved into the mind, or the brain, I'll say, to be more specific, the brain, that has, you know, if you've thought about different throughout your life, different security, fear thoughts, you know, you have a brain, a pathway somewhere in here. I don't know where, I'm not a brain expert, but you have a pathway somewhere in here that really is grooved in. So that when a thought comes in about your security, it just kind of goes slipping down that slide, you know, and all these emotions kick off and it happens so fast that you can't stop it. So what's literally happening during rest, the rest phase of rest, accept, and trust, is that you're drying up that neural pathway. It's getting smaller. You are literally healing the brain of a bad habit that you have allowed for the rest of your life. So if it takes a lot of different times of having to practice this rest, accept, and trust, that's okay. Because to be honest, it was a lot of different times of believing similar content thoughts that created those grooves in the brain in the first place. So one of the things you want to remember when you're practicing rest, accept, and trust is you're letting these old neural pathways dry up in your mind by not continuing to believe the same content thought over and over and over again. And if you think about a fear story about financial security, you know, in an afternoon, one lousy afternoon of being afraid, hundreds of thoughts could be believed that are continuing to create that groove, right? So if you can spend an afternoon resting, accepting, and trusting, not only did the groove not deepen during that time, but you're allowing it to dry up by not believing those thoughts, by focusing on this self-talk or focusing on music or something else. But again, you're not doing it to escape. You're doing it to heal. And your intention is everything. You can't fool your own brain. So that's the rest part. Now, the accept part is about the emotion. The rest part is about the thoughts. The accept part is about the emotion. And unfortunately, most humans are really, resistant is the word I'll use, really resistant to negative emotion. And they do whatever they can to get rid of it as soon as possible. You know, if I can blame Jacqueline for my negative emotion, you guys know this, your core students, I get to project that on her. And what that does is frees me of the emotion. Now it's her fault, it's not my fault. But at the same time, we didn't actually get rid of the emotion. It's a lie. What we did was we repressed it. Anything that you project, you've actually repressed, which means you still have it in you. So what we want to do during the rest, accept, and trust process is we want to allow these repressed emotions, some of them are ancient repressed emotions, to arise and to be free. And, you know, you can even use this little imaginary thing, at least I did. You know, imagine they're repressed down into your gut or your solar plexus or someplace like that, right? And you literally want to, let me just move the screen a little bit. You literally want to allow them to come up, 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 up. You may even feel some of them start to exit through your mouth. Literally, your breath might feel like it gets bad sometimes. People have also reported that they feel like their whole body stinks, like it's coming out through their pores. Just let it keep going up, 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 and it can leave right out the top of your crown chakra, and it can leave. In order for this to happen, though, you have to not re-repress it. So what you're doing during the accept process is you're accepting the emotion exactly as it is, right? And you don't want to get in the way at all, right? Because if you get in the way, you're just going to push it back down there again. You want to set back and it'll get worse before it gets better. But that's because there's so much ancient stuff. It's not just this one event, this one trigger event. It's all these past events as well. So you want to allow this to just come up, come up, come up and leave. And you just want to stay out of the way as much as possible. So that's the reason for the accept. You have to accept or allow. I heard the Bill wanted to call it rest, allow, and trust. That's fine with me. Either one of those.
Yes, Bill said.
yeah, that's fine. You know, the point is you want to let it happen. Right. You want to let it happen. I think it's in the Tao Te Ching. It says something about a thing has to thrive before it shrinks. If you are really going through a genuine purification process, you will be amazed at how big these emotions get. And not only that, the tiniest thing could happen. Like I could just snap at Jacqueline, like a little bitty snap, you know, like, dang it, Jacqueline. Right. And this enormous amount of guilt will start rising like I murdered her. Right? When it's the smallest little thing that you quote did, and this enormous amount of guilt comes up, what's really happening is that the guilt is you are in the purification process. I mean, that's a clear sign that you're in the purification process. When this enormous amount of fear, enormous amount of guilt, enormous amount of unworthiness begins to come up, because you spent your whole life avoiding that. You spent your whole life repressing it. And now you want to let it leave you. And again, it may take more than one instance for some of these things, but then you repress them more than one time. So that's the accept. That's the accept. Just let the emotions come up, 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 and leave, and you stay out of the way. You don't want the emotion to stop until it's left. Right? Now, again, I find that the universe is very gentle with us, and that fear is much more enormous than we're aware of. Guilt, unworthiness, much more enormous than we're aware of. And because the universe is gentle with us, instead of bringing it all up at once, for most of us, we'll find that there are going to be several times, you know, many times that it comes up. I once had a vision, just a brief vision, only a couple of seconds, that showed me the fear inside of I actually felt it was the fear inside of the average human, not just me. And it was such a large amount of fear that after I saw that, I was so grateful. Before then, I used to say, why do I have to keep going through this over and over again? After that, I was so grateful that I got to go through it in many, many smaller bouts rather than this huge thing, because it was just so much fear and so much unworthiness. So when you're having to do it again and again and again, just realize that's gentleness. You know, and be grateful for that. Don't get frustrated that you couldn't just do it once and be done. It's gentleness when it takes several times. But you know, you're resting the mind, you're accepting the emotion or allowing the emotion. And then the trust is the trust. That's it. That's your job. That's how healing occurs. And that's also very important because the ego, which really doesn't want you resting or accepting, will try and tell you, you got to do all these other things. This couldn't possibly be enough, blah, 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 blah. And you just have to ignore all that and trust. Rest, accept, that's your part. That's what you do. So I guess that's what I have to say. So are there questions or comments?
Yeah, the thing that was coming to me there when you're speaking about negative emotions coming up is our tendency when we're feeling these negative emotions to think there's something wrong. I shouldn't be feeling this.
Right. And that's just, you know, that's what causes us to repress them. In fact, there was this one time, probably the biggest bout of guilt coming up that I had. What I had done was I had defended someone in email. Someone wrote an email to a group back then. We were all in Yahoo groups and said something. I don't even remember what the person said, but before he or she said it, they commented that they were a new course student. You could tell they were very excited and they were writing about their clarity about some part of the course. And the sharks just dove in and just, you know, told this person how wrong they were and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sitting back, you know, this new person, there was so much enthusiasm and all of these people. And so I wrote actually a politely worded email, and I don't remember what I said, but, you know, basically it was addressing these people who were, you know, attacking this new person. And after I did that, this enormous amount of guilt came up. In fact, you know, I talked about guilt, like you had murdered someone. You would have thought I was a mass murderer. I'd murdered thousands of people. In fact, the guilt was so strong that I wanted to die and not just die, because that wasn't enough. I wanted to die and be erased from everyone's memory. There was so much shame. I couldn't even bear the thought of a memory of me existing on the planet. But this is the important part. It's almost like right behind this ear, there was this one little, and every cell of my body agreed with this. Like you could feel the guilt all over, right? But there was this one little area right here, like it was one little cell in my body reminding me to rest, accept, and trust. This is healing. And this particular bout only took about 4 hours. Sometimes they take longer. But in 4 hours, this enormous, enormous guilt. And you know, and again, the ego is saying, write another email, you know?
Do something different.
Fix it. Yeah, exactly. Because that's where the trust comes in. Your job is to rest, accept, not whatever the ego is telling you to do, right? So for 4 hours, I was just with this enormous amount of guilt. With this one little part of me remembering this is a healing opportunity, you know, rest, accept, and trust. And I did that. And I haven't believed guilt since then, not my guilt or anyone else's. So that huge, huge coming up was for me the final one for guilt, anyway. So, you know, so it's really important to understand what you're doing, what you've chosen to do, and you need to want healing, awakening, truth more than you want to feel good right now.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question.
Yes.
And first I want to let you know that technology is such that I can tell there are people watching, so things are going well, but I cannot access their comments. So I apologize, but if there are questions through Jacqueline, we will make sure we get them to you if that's okay.
Okay.
I have been on your website and we'll post the link because there's all your old teachings are there and I'm just having a blast with them and playing with the emotions that are coming up. What came up for me yesterday, and I'm feeling it a little bit now, is almost maybe it's a suppression or something else, but almost like an intense fatigue and a fog so that I can't access. Like, I know that there's something there, like there's a door over there. And I don't know if it's such an intense fear that it's something's not allowing me to feel it or something else is going on, but I haven't quite figured out. Like yesterday, I was walking around going, there's something here, but I couldn't rest with, or didn't actually. It was just a fog.
Yeah, I understand. Well, I'll tell you another tool I used to use was prayer. And I actually used the prayer two ways. So I'll explain both ways during my purification process. One way that I used it, like if I felt, sometimes I could feel almost like a lump, like, you know, like just like an internal, not like a cancer lump, but like if you have to burp or something, you know, like that kind of an internal kind of a lump that I knew was something wanted to come up, but I had no idea what it was, right? I would pray. I would pray and I would say, I'm willing to look at this. Please, you know, bring this out so that I can see it. I'm ready to heal. And I would know that when I prayed that something was going to happen to push whatever it was up. But I trusted God, consciousness, the universe enough that I also knew that whatever would happen would be okay. You know, like I wasn't worried about some major thing like my daughter having to be killed or something. I did in the beginning. So this is why I bring this up. You know, I did in the beginning think that she would be killed, you know, so that I could heal it. Both couldn't happen, which is untrue, by the way. She's now 22 years old and in her fifth year of college with a double engineering major, right? She's fine. But I got to where I trusted consciousness. I knew something would happen. You know, somebody would say something or, you know, something would happen to trigger it. But I trusted consciousness with that. And so I would pray and I would say, please, I really want to look at this. I really want to heal. I want to see this. I will also tell you that sometimes, and I would go through 2 or 3 months of things coming up. And I got to tell you, I was also very serious about healing. Anybody that knows me knows that's true. Very serious about healing. But sometimes after 2 or 3 months of stuff coming up, I could just feel myself getting tired. And I thought that maybe I wouldn't be as effective in being with it, as tired as I was getting. So then I would pray for a break. I would say, I need a rest right now. I need a break, you know, just a rest. And then things would just like settle down. Like everything in life would go fine for a while. And this would give me a chance to catch my breath, to get re-inspired. But I would also know intuitively when, okay, this is a nice break, but if we keep on, we're not going to finish healing. So then I would come back and pray again. I'd say, okay, I'm ready to see more. And I literally asked the universe for these healing opportunities. And I never prayed, make it stop out of fear. I just could feel myself getting tired and I knew I wouldn't be effective, right? Because healing is a type of job, just like any type of job, you have to go home and rest, right? Well, occasionally you have to rest from this job. So when I could feel myself getting tired and I knew I wouldn't be effective, I would pray for a break. And then when I felt fully rested and I knew that it was time to get back to work, I would pray for me to start seeing what I needed to see again. And that worked very well for me. So, of course, there was always sincerity and right intention behind it.
Yeah, and that's the sentiment that I've asked them to take to this journaling process. Okay, I've told you the whole story. I feel this way. Holy Spirit, what would you share with me that I haven't, that I need to see about myself, that I haven't seen? Yeah. What am I believing? Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting, and we could wrap up in a few minutes, but I have to share this because it's what you just said may have been subtle, so I want to bring it out. I've had this thought in these last 24, 48 hours of saying, you know, I'm looking at whenever my thoughts want to make my life better, either more money in the bank or something in my apartment or improve a relationship. And lately I've been just looking at it saying, well, that's like putting lipstick on a corpse. I don't even know where that, if I heard you say that or somewhere, but I've been walking around going, well, that's just putting lipstick on a corpse. And that's what I just heard you say, that if I don't take anything else from these last 20 minutes, is the fact that I'm not here. We're not here to have a great life in the world. Yes. I'm not here to put $1 million in the bank, to have the prettiest children, to have lots of accolades or whatever in the world. I'm here to heal, and through my healing, you know, the Course tells me I'm the salvation of the world, whatever that means. And that's what I just heard you say. This wasn't about me having a comfortable life. This was right. about healing.
Healing.
Yeah. That was worth the price of admission. any final words, anyone? I'm like in love with life right now and just shivering and shaking.
Well, I want to express my gratitude for Regina, for her teachings, for her commitment to healing, and for her coming to share here with us today. Thank you, Regina.
Thank you, Regina.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Anything else, Susan?
No, I'm just taking it all in.
Yeah. So I had somebody after our Facebook Live on Friday, just so everybody knows, somebody mentioned that they would have loved to have been able to download the audio or the video and take it off. And I'll talk to Susan, but I'm pretty sure that I can do that with this, because, you know, to me, this was priceless, and we'll get it up into, unless Jacqueline, you know, if everybody says yes, I'll do what I can to get this video into this month's course so that you have access to it. And man, thank you. Thank you to everyone listening, everyone who watches in the future, and everyone here, because we're doing it.
Thank you.
With that,
thank you.
I'll say, okay.